Welcome to The Follow-Up. This is the place where we explore questions you've submitted after Sunday's sermon. Maybe it's something that left you curious, confused, or inspired. We'll talk through it together. Ready? Let's get to The Follow-Up.
Hello, and welcome back to The Follow-Up Podcast.
Hey. It's
Crystal and Sean here.
Yes, we're here.
We are pastors at Life Community Church.
We are. And recording an afternoon podcast today. So what you got in your...
I still just have water with lemon. You know, I tried that caffeinated water last week and that was...
No bueno.
No go. So I went back to the standard.
Yeah. It's too late in the day for coffee for me, though I did just finish one.
I did see you
about 20 minutes ago. So now I have a very large full thing of water that I'm supposed to drink.
Drink your water, people.
So drink your water.
That's an added tip for today.
Yeah. And that's all we've got. Yep. Just kidding. week three of our values series, right? Yep. This is how we do this. I'm helping us all be on mission together as the people of God, as Life Community Church. Yep. And so how do we go about connecting people to Jesus and their life's purpose? So we've been exploring that together. So I talked about generosity this week.
Generosity, yeah.
Good. And had some questions come in.
Yeah, we did. Thank you for your questions.
Yeah, it's great.
They're great questions.
But then we don't have to make them up on our own. It's really nice.
Good. Yeah. So thank you for that. And we talked about generosity and how it's both a practice and a posture.
Yeah.
That's how it's one of our values. It's modeled in the person of Jesus and God.
Yep. So. Yeah, it was really helpful for me personally as I was thinking through the message, because it was one of those where we clearly define it as a value and a practice. Mm-hmm. That just the language that I used on Sunday was it's who we are and what we do.
Yeah.
So like generosity is both who I am. I am a generous person. Let's say try to be.
Yeah.
Right. And I practice generosity, and you know, both those things reinforce one another.
Yeah.
And so anyways, that was just helpful for me as I was thinking through like, oh man, we got this value and a practice. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Right. And so who I am and what I do.
Yeah. That's good. So we're just going to dive into these questions here today. And the first question is, can you go into generosity and boundaries a little bit more? So you mentioned it in the sermon and towards the end as well, but maybe just unpack what it means to have boundaries. The follow-up question here is, what if the people who ask are people who have put you in unhealthy places and spaces? Mm-hmm. And how do you live generously with boundaries and protecting, you know, maybe your mental health or your family?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. This question comes up quite a bit when we talk about practices or ways of life that require us to give ourselves away.
Yeah.
Right. So like this posture, to use another term, of like servanthood. And you know, Jesus gave everything, right? And so we seek to be like Jesus. And so, you know, that it's an interesting question, because it forces us to wrestle with the reality that, like we are called to give our lives away, and like be wise with how we do that. Like be wise with how we, use the, you know, the time God has given us and the resources that God has given us. And so we aren't to be flippant with those things. And I think there's, you know, a couple of parables that Jesus tells about, you know, the wise steward, right? And how they invested their money and got a return on it. And so I think the question is a challenge, because it's, yes, like you're called to sacrifice and give your life away as we follow Jesus. And how do we do that in a way that is not just flippant? And so I think I tried to address it, though we were running out of time on Sunday, so we kind of zipped through the stuff there at the end. But this idea of boundaries are important because, one, we're finite human beings. Mm-hmm. Right? So like I am a limited person, you know, and like and we have limited resources. And so like recognizing that boundaries in our lives help us to make the most of both the time that we have, the energy that we have, the resources that we have. And so try to use examples, you know, so finances is just the easiest one to do. But of course, scripture makes a big deal of it all the way through, right? It talks about our resources or our money pretty much more than any other topic in the scripture. And because that's often what has our heart, right? And our security. And so Jesus talks about it and oftentimes framed in our generosity. Mm-hmm. Right? And so we tend to want to make generosity like, well, it's also about like my time. And yes, it is. And it's about our money, right? It's about the thing that controls us. And so if I don't have boundaries on my finances, then I don't have the freedom to respond when maybe the Spirit prompts. And so I think trying to position yourselves, we've talked about this before when we talked about generosity, positioning yourself to say yes to God. So if that's in my money, then it's important for me to put some boundaries on how I might spend my money so that I can be generous when the opportunity comes. So when the church email goes out about SNAP benefits, right, then I've got, I've got boundaries in my finances so I can respond to that. I can be part of that, being generous in that way. If I don't have boundaries, then I'm not simply not able to be generous. Maybe like God's Spirit or God's grace in my life might compel me to do that. And so one of the interesting things that Paul talks about in Corinthians in his letter to the, and he's talking about the church of Macedonia and how they gave, he goes through all the things, how it was a response of grace in their lives. And then he also says that it wasn't, there was no other compulsion. Like they weren't like compelled to give because they had to, you know, they weren't like, well, this is what we do. Like, no, it was a response of grace. And so I think my simple answer to like how, you know, how much is too much kind of the question is, like, if you feel compelled by anything other than God's grace in your life, then it's not true generosity, right? It might be charity, but it's not true generosity in terms of a reflection of God's love in our lives. And so so I would say to that question is like, what do you feel the Spirit is compelling you to do? And you got to have good boundaries for that, right? So I got to have boundaries on my time and so that I can practice silence and solitude, scripture, prayer. Yeah. So that I can know the Spirit, right? And so boundaries allow us to respond in ways that we would hope to respond. So boundaries in my finances, you know, make a budget, boundaries in my time. Like we talked about that 2 weeks ago, right? About like white space in your calendar and like, hey, don't block out, you know, don't like book up every single space in your calendar. That's hard sometimes, especially if you have a young family and running around doing stuff. And you know, that the hour comes when you have, you know, a blank space and you're like, I'm toast. I'm going to bed. And so I think, I don't know. I mean, maybe you got more do you want to add to that, but I think that's how I would generally respond to it is like, we're compelled by grace. Yeah. If it's not compelled by grace, then I don't know that that's the Spirit. And, you know, I think that's what the scripture teaches us, that this generosity is compelled by God's grace in our lives. And the boundaries then enable that, enable us to respond to that in a way that we would say, yes, I can give. It might be a little, but I can give, right? Or like, oh, I've got a little bit of time. I can, you know, slow down and have a conversation with this person or, you know, things like that, that we build into our lives that enable us to live generous lives when the Spirit and we're always in a posture of generosity, but specifically when the Spirit compels me to do that.
Yeah. I think in this kind of question too, it's probably talking a lot about time and what we do with ourselves and what we make ourselves available for. And with that comes, like you mentioned, wisdom. And one of the other practices, you know, maybe we haven't talked about it as much, but is community. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways that you practice community is being in spaces where you have trusted people in your life that, you know, you go to and say, hey, this is a situation or something that's happening in my life, or I feel like I'm not sure if we're supposed to move on this or not. And that's where community comes in, and you say, hey, can you pray with us about this? You know, maybe it's something you feel like the Spirit's prompting you to do, or you're unsure as you go to prayer with other people that are also practicing silence and solitude and prayer and scripture reading. And you take that to prayer and say, hey, is this, you know, how does this feel to you? And having those kinds of trusted friendships and relationships help you to be wise and to know maybe this is a place where I need to put a boundary in that I, you know, I'm not sure about. Help me see that. And so that's just another way to practice wisdom, is to bring other people into your decision-making process you know, we've done that with finances and we said, hey, is this a wise move right now to do this? Or this is next step. You know, we feel like the Spirit's leading us here, but we're, you know, we'd love for you to pray with us about that. And that takes vulnerability and it takes time, but it helps you practice wisdom in some of these places where maybe you do need to put a boundary up. And again, inviting other people into your life to speak into that, I think is just a really important thing to do.
Totally. Yeah. And then I think also like when you live in community, then you're aware of needs, right? So then it's not a blind generosity, right? Whereas like, no, like I know this family or I know this person and like the, you know, your generosity towards that situation, you can trust that it is a wise use of your generosity, right? Yeah. Whereas, you know, just kind of throwing it out to, you know, whoever and wherever. And so I think the flip side of that is when we live in community with one another, that's kind of our first stop for generosity. Yeah. Like, how do I be generous to the body of Christ?
Right.
And then like outside of that, you know, and one of the ways we were just at last week, you know, we were at the Corrales for Refugees, you know, fundraiser dinner, right? And so like when we partner with organizations, we'll talk more about that, I think, in a little bit later in terms of like how we be generous as a church. But when we partner with trusted organizations, like I can trust that, no, this is a good use of my generosity. Right. Like, you know, hear the stories and we know the people and we know the organization. Like, hey, like I can, again, like we live in community with those people. So we know that, oh no, this is like that. And so, so I just think the other part of that is like, hey, like getting wisdom from, and then also doing life with allows us to feel good about like, oh no, like the Spirit has compelled me to do this and to help meet that need.
Yeah. And I think, you know, you said this on Sunday, but it's sacrificial, right? Like when we're generous, we should feel something, you know, the generosity of Jesus was sacrificial. Yeah. God's generosity was sacrificial. And so it will feel like a sacrifice if you're being, you know, truly generous. It might sting a bit. Mm-hmm. It might feel hard for a season. It might make you go, oh no, you know, was that the right thing to do, was to donate to that or to give my time to that or to open up my home to this.
Yeah.
And it might feel like a pinch. It should feel like that.
Yep.
You know, that's, or otherwise you're not really being practicing dependence upon God, right? You're just like, well, yeah, if this fits within
what I can afford.
So this is how much I'm going to do. And instead, you know, we're stepping out in faith and dependence and trusting that God's going to provide for us. And again, when the Spirit has called us to do something.
Yeah. And then I would just say, you know, cause I think sometimes people think about this, like the toxic type relationships,
right?
You know, where, you know, people are abusing you, taking advantage of you. Like, again, that's the wisdom question, right? Like, no, like that is not a wise use of your generosity. And sometimes, you know, again, there's examples in the scriptures where you just have to cut somebody off. Yeah. Like, I can no longer give you my time. Yeah. I can no longer give you my resources. Yeah. And so I think, again, when you do life in community, you're able to talk that through, to know that. When you're in, you know, the normal spiritual practices, I think the Spirit will let you know, like, hey, this is no longer, this is enabling, you know, behavior that is not good. And so, yes, I think there's boundaries also on like, you know, when your generosity maybe can become toxic to the other person, where you're become an enabler of behavior that it's not helpful. Again, we'll talk about it in a little bit, but some of the work we do with Love Inc., we'll talk about a little bit later. But
yeah. And then in that case, you know, really what's happening is it might not feel like it, but you're actually showing love. And so your generosity and love in that moment to say, I'm going to do the loving thing here and not enable you anymore. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's complex.
Yep.
There's a lot there.
Yeah. And I guess we'll move on. But you know, when we say it often, like the best thing you have to offer people is your transformed life in Christ, right?
Yeah.
Yes, your money, you know, matters, and, your giving matters to the church and, you know, to your family. And like truly the best thing I have to offer is my transformed life in Christ. And so like when I do the things that take care of me, when I put the boundaries in place that enable me, to offer my life in Christ to others, then I can be generous without worrying about what the outcomes necessarily are. Like I don't have to be in charge of those. It truly is an act of grace in my life. And so I can be offer grace to other people, yeah. Regardless of maybe what the outcome might be. So.
Yeah. We kind of talked about this a little bit earlier and in other podcasts, but you know, we talk about creating margin and mm-hmm. what that looks like and how can we live generously if we feel like we don't have margin. And so do you want to just talk about that for a bit?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we maybe kind of hinted at it. You might be able to interchange boundaries and margin mm-hmm. a bit, but, you know, I think both of those things you have to fight for, yeah. right? They're not going to create themselves.
Yeah.
And we just live in a culture and a world where, you know, if you want to take up every minute, you can. You know, several years ago when Netflix was still blowing up, they asked the founder, Reed Hastings, about who is Netflix's biggest competitor? And he said sleep.
Yeah.
You know, so like that's just the thing, right? It's all at our fingertips right. all the time. And so we have to fight for margin in our lives and creating that space where it's like, you just say, no, I'm going to leave this blank.
Yep.
Right. And, you know, it may turn into, you know, a card game with your kids. It may mm-hmm. turn into a walk with your spouse around the neighborhood. Yeah. It might turn into a conversation with a neighbor. Yeah. Right. And so you just leave it open. I think it's this idea of like, I create white space or margin in my life. Both of my time, my money, all those yeah. things, that just like, hey, like I'm not going to earmark this really for anything. It's right. just kind of, and so you have to fight for that,
yeah.
Daily, yeah. you know, in, yeah. in your life. Yeah. And we just tend to feel like we want to fill up everything. And I probably would just refer people to the practice of silence and solitude.
Right. Yeah. There's always a practice. That,
right.
Tie it back to. Yeah. I think, you know, if you're asking the question, how do I do this if I don't have any margin? And the question is, why don't you have any margin?
Yeah.
And looking at that first and going, okay, why don't I have margin in my finances? Why don't I have margin in my calendar? Why don't I have margin in my brain space? You mm-hmm. know, like, okay, there's probably a practice that, you know, maybe you need to practice fasting mm-hmm. something. Maybe you need to practice silence and solitude. Maybe you need mm-hmm. to practice, you know, just different practices that pretty much we can tie to different spaces yep. where you can look at, you know, take a real good look and maybe take a week and just
yep.
track your calendar, your time, your finances, what, you know, your phone shows you how much time you spend on
totally
every single app. And it's a little scary.
Yep.
And maybe just track it and go, where's my time go?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's like to be like really pointed, maybe, you know, if following Jesus never costs you anything, then it's probably not really following Jesus. I mean, he's pretty clear that it's going to cost something. And if we're not willing to do the base level things of like, hey, I can cut this mm-hmm. unnecessary thing out of my life and feel the pinch or sting a little yeah. bit. Like for me, I'm just like, man, I need to be willing. Am I willing to like cut things out of my life so that I can respond? If I'm not, then I have to ask some serious questions about the depth of my mm-hmm. faith, right? And how much I'm really willing to sacrifice, if you can even call it, yeah. you know, sacrifice, right. like give up, you know, Netflix. That's like on the level of sacrifice. Like I think, you know, early first century Christians would laugh. Yeah. Right. And so, but like, that's really, I think the bottom line, like for me and something like generosity mm-hmm. is like, what am I actually willing to do? Yeah. And am I willing to just even consider that, hey, maybe I don't need to fill my calendar yeah. up. And yeah, you know, I may be disappointed that I have to give that thing up. But you know, for, you know, something eternal. Yeah. Right. And, yeah, I think that's yeah. the harder, like deeper question, at least for yep. me, as I wrestle with that, is like, man, if I don't, and you mentioned, if I don't feel the sting, if it's not costing me anything to follow Jesus, like I'm just doing this in the comfort of, yep. you know, all my things, like there's probably a deeper work right. that the Spirit needs to do in me.
Yeah. I was thinking about, you know, it was a great conversation you had with Steve Lett on Sunday, just hearing his testimony. And then you spoke to your own, like, you know, pattern of giving over mm-hmm. your life and tithing. And, you know, I can attest to this, to the same thing. Like God has always been faithful and sometimes it's in crazy ways. And I think if people are on the fence about, you know, financially tithing mm-hmm. their regular tithes and offerings, they're like unsure. If you talk to anybody that has been giving faithfully,
right.
I think you will hear a similar testimony of God's faithfulness. And so I just wanted to encourage people, like, hey, yep, if you're not sure, you're on the fence about that, take the step, take the leap of faith, because I just don't know of any situation where God has not shown up in really incredible ways, yeah, to provide for people and in surprising ways too.
So. Yeah. I just, God's grace just, yeah, continues to show up. And sometimes it takes an initial, like, nope, I'm just going to lean in and start. So,
yeah. Last question here. This is great. This is an exciting question to answer. Where can I send people who need our generosity through our church, whether they need food, clothing, et cetera? And this is whether or not they are part of our church community. Mm-hmm. Where can we send people?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, we talk a lot about Foreland Benton, mm-hmm, right? That we, the whole idea about Foreland Benton is that we work together with community partners to help make a difference in our communities. Yeah. And so we do that a couple different ways here. So the primary one is Love Inc. So Love Inc. of Benton County. Mm-hmm. They're here in our building, and they are essentially, they partner with churches all over Benton County to help folks in a variety of need. And so they are kind of a clearinghouse resource for that. And so they do that in a process. They do an intake and then they process need. And then lots of churches have different gap ministries is what they call them. And so, like, one of the ones we have is birthday gifts, mm-hmm, for folks, but they have a food pantry. They've got a clothing pantry. They've got a medical, they call it the med shed, where you can get medical supplies. So all sorts of different needs. And so, they're the experts in, yeah, being able to kind of process, hey, what are you going to need? But not only that, then they want to help resource you and equip you. So that need doesn't, perpetuate. Right. And so, they try to get folks involved in what they call their Grow Together program. And Grow Together is classes that they offer, whether it be like financial classes or like personal discipline. They don't, yeah, call it that, but like, hey, how do parenting. I grow as a person? Parenting. Yeah. They're offering Alpha right now. So I'm exploring faith. So different ways that they then try to not just like, hey, we gave you a turkey,
yeah,
but like, we've also provided, like, helped educate you, for lack of a better word, or equip you. There's the word I'm looking, yeah, for, to equip you, to have success in the future. And then they kind of follow you through on that. And, yeah, so, we've seen some really cool, outcomes with people, right, through Love Inc. So that's kind of the first,
yep,
stop, for us. So if you're like, hey, I've got a friend who needs help, like, we would say, hey, like, send them to Love Inc.
Yep.
Or have them call us and we'll connect them with, right, with Love Inc. And so that's one way that, we're meeting, basic compassionate, yeah, ministry needs.
Yeah. I love their model because it isn't just about here, come pick up something. And, you know, they really partner with people, yeah, to help. Okay. How do we help you out of the situation you're in, even, and helping you kind of move forward,
yep,
in your life. And so, yeah, I love the model of Love Inc.
Yeah. And it's faith-based, but it's, yeah, not exclusive to people, right, of faith. Right. Yep. And so they're not shy about, helping kind of direct people to Jesus, but, yep, that doesn't, like, disqualify somebody.
Right.
But, one thing that they don't do. So, like, oftentimes people will call with, like, they need, like, rent assistance, right, right? Or, and they need gas for their cars. Ones we get quite a bit. Love Inc. Doesn't do rental assistance via cash, yeah, right? Or gas vouchers. They try to direct to other local organizations that do. But oftentimes when people are looking for basically a cash, mm-hmm, deal, that's more difficult to find in organizations because it gets abused.
Yeah.
And so I would say, just even to answer that question internally, if we have folks within our congregation that experience need, when it comes to, like, hey, we can't pay our electric bill, or, you know, we're short on, you know, rent, or, those types of things, with people within our congregation that we would say are regular attenders, yeah, you know, members, those folks need to call us.
Right.
You know, we can't always do something about it, but most of the time we'll figure out how to help and how to come alongside. Similar to what we did with, like, our SNAP stuff. Like, yeah, we'll just make an all call. Like, hey, if you have, you know, the ability to help. So that's the way we handle it.
Yeah.
Kind of internally with organizations that, like Love Inc., who might not be able to do those types of things.
Yeah. And if Love Inc. doesn't do it, like you said, they are well connected. And so, yeah, they can say, oh, this place has food, or, you know, Vita Moses has clothes,
yep,
and backpack drives. And there's all sorts of resources that they know. So
right.
Send them there. And then if they can't help, then they go other places.
Yep. But
yeah.
Yeah. So those are some of the ways. We also, you know, like partner with, you know, Corvallis for Refugees, and we have some school resource folks that we connect with. And so there are ways that we are kind of reaching into our community to, right. to be generous.
Yeah. Unity shelter.
Yeah. Unity shelter when the needs arise. Yeah. And so working with organizations that have expertise in the field, because frankly, for us to try to be an expert at everything is not going to happen. As much as I would love to be an expert at everything.
Yeah.
But yeah. And again, that helps. We talk about it being the upstream needs, mm-hmm. right? Like too often we're just all, you know, you're trying to meet the downstream needs and you can't stop that flow of, right. of water. It's just, it's constant.
Yeah.
But if we can get upstream, and that's, you know, and help address the needs that are kind of upstream, then, we find good results that way. And that's really why we love what Love Inc. does, right. And partnering specifically with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
Lots of ways to be generous.
Yeah.
And you know, there's never a shortage of need.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, how do we, again, like, it's who I am. It's also what I do.
Yeah.
And how do I have the kind of relationship with the spirit that helps me to have wisdom? And as you said, I think super helpful, like in a relationship with others that helps me determine what might be wise, but also makes me aware
right.
of the needs that are literally like in the seat next to me at church, right?
Yeah.
And things like that. And so, yeah, boundaries, margin, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah. And our practice for this series has been generosity as well. And we've been talking about, you know, upcoming, you know, it's the season of giving, Thanksgiving's coming, Christmas, and we're going to have opportunity for our people here to continue to be generous and even partner with our partner Love Inc. So more on that soon.
Yeah. And again, I'm going to talk about this forever, but just as you were talking, I'm just again, reflecting all the ways that people have been generous to me and the ways that God has demonstrated his grace through those people. Sometimes it's been financial, you know, I've had some crazy things happen over in my, you know, my ministry life. Oftentimes it's just, it's been a note, you know, that was not generic, right? Yeah. That like, it was an email or handwritten note or whatever that people just, or had a word of encouragement to me that they were just generous in their words or their time, or their care for me and my family. And so lots of different ways to be generous. I think financially, that gets at some of the heart of the matter, but there's a lot of ways that you can demonstrate God's grace and be a conduit of God's grace to other people through your generosity, in a variety of ways.
Yeah.
Just I don't know, a little something to leave with.
All right. There you go. Well, thanks for joining us again. And next week we're talking about
wholeheartedness. Yeah. So, it's the big word. One of my favorites, one of my favorite stories of scripture. Be back here next week.
Next week. That's a wrap for today. Stay curious and we'll see you next week.